Isaiah chapter 52, hear the word of God. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm. Bared his holy arm before the eyes of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations, kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. May God indeed bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word or the idea, the notion of peace is a concept that is, of course, very prevalent in relationship to Christmas. It is a concept that brings great relief and great joy in the midst of conflict. And ultimately, it relates to Christmas, that is particularly the birth of Christ, and that it has to do with your relationship with God. Now, certainly the case that you can know the peace of God, you can truly have the peace of God in your heart, and yet be living in the midst of the greatest human conflict that there might be. But we also do understand that human or earthly conflict comes about because of a lack of peace with God. And therefore, there is indeed a connection between the type of peace that we enjoy outwardly and physically. Never completely, but there's a connection. And the peace that we have with God. As virtually every year, this will once again be a year in which there will be those situations and those places across the world in which there won't be peace tonight or tomorrow. We live in a world, and certainly we live in a nation, increasingly more and more turned away from knowing the peace of God, more and more torn with strife. We have great differences and conflict in our politics, in our economics. There's concern about where we are headed as a nation. Perhaps this is not extraordinary, it just happens to be what we focus right now at this time. Conflict is a reality. It is part of this sinful world in which we live, that has been ever since the day that Adam rebelled against God and sinned until the Lord returns again. It is, of course, also the case that the message of peace with God is not a new message. It's certainly not a new message to us. It was not a new message at the time in which the angels announced it to the shepherds. It wasn't a new message when Isaiah prophesied it, when the children of Israel, in the context of being in Babylon, because it is the message of God from eternity. That in the mind of God, peace with God and man was planned to bring about through the work of the Holy Spirit, and particularly by the work of the Son applied by the Holy Spirit. In history, God announced this peace to Adam and Eve when they had sinned. It was made known throughout the Old Testament in progressive ways. It was announced at the birth of Christ. At the same time, the message of peace is one that remains relevant year in and year out. It is an announcement that needs to continuously be made known, not only on December 25 every year, as we were leaving our house just a couple of blocks this evening, there is a significantly large Roman Catholic church. There are other churches in the area, but my wife and I remarked about how full the parking lot was tonight. Fuller than other times. It's not only important right now, it's important every day of the year. So to fully appreciate the emphasis on the announcement of peace in this prophecy of Isaiah, it is, of course, helpful to understand the context. Isaiah had prophesied in the earlier part of his book that the children of Israel, because of their sin, are going to be taken captive to Babylon. That the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, is going to be destroyed. And that is, of course, great conflict. That is a direct result of sin, the conflict that sin had brought upon them. It is conflict for the nation being destroyed in war and taken captive into exile. And that's the context in which Isaiah then also comes with this announcement of peace. Again, as we read it in verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You know, on the night that Christ was born, as you well know, an angel came to the shepherds and announced to them the birth of the Savior, Christ the Lord. An angel is, of course, a messenger from God. It is the announcement of God to the shepherds. We also have that very well-known song sung by the host of angels the host of messengers. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Clearly, this is a message from God. It is God who announces peace to those who do not know peace. The emphasis in this passage in Isaiah is that of bringing and announcing a message. And the ultimate message is that God is the sovereign God, that God reigns, and that the nation of Babylon, the nation of Persia, or any other is not in control, but God is. And God says to you, I have accomplished for you peace, and I have come to tell you of that peace. The construction in the original language here in this verse emphasizes the fact that this is not something that has just happened. You know, we kind of live in a world today of ongoing war. But when there have been those times, particularly we might think of World War II and the peace treaty is signed, there is an announcement, there's peace. That announcement comes and says peace has right now been established. It's a present sort of thing. The announcement which the prophet Isaiah announces is not that peace has just now happened. It is announcement of the peace that is in the eternal mind of God, worked out in history through his Son. But it is the announcement of peace that is established in eternity, and God says to you, I am telling you the reality of that peace that God has established so that you might be the people of God and God might be your God. The announcement of peace comes to you. It came to Adam and Eve. It came to Israel as they faced exile. It came to the shepherds in the fields. It continues to be proclaimed as the good news of salvation. There are a number of terms in regard to the content or description of the announcement. It speaks of good news. It speaks of joy and happiness. It speaks of salvation. I thought it would be well this evening to talk about, particularly concentrate on the idea of peace. Peace is, of course, based on salvation. It's important to understand the result or the consequences of salvation when indeed we think about it in terms of peace. Peace is an announcement that the battle is over. You know, when Israel is brought back from the exile to their homeland, then there's peace. But far more so when everything, absolutely everything, is right between you and God, then the conflict because of sin is over. The battle is finished. And you are at peace with God. Now, the word peace here is, of course, that well-known Hebrew word shalom. It is the most basic concept, the most basic concept that that word conveys is to, in a very simple way, to just simply say, you know what? Everything is just okay. No problems. We're just fine. Everything is right, which leads to being content and enjoying life fully, to, in fact, experience happiness. Now, again, we're not just talking about happiness in the sense that a child will be happy when he opens up his package and sees the toy he's been looking for. But we are talking about the essence of life itself. God has made us mankind in the image of God, and therefore he has made us to be in fellowship with God to enjoy the fullest. I think sometimes we have, because of the emphasis wrongly placed, it is an important emphasis, but we need to be understanding correctly that our relationship with God is not one of just the unhappiness because of sin. Our relationship with God is because of joy. God desires to enjoy, as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, fellowship with his people. He desires you to know that joy, that peace. This is where every single individual to understand, first of all, the essence of this peace. As I said, to understand the context of Israel being in conflict. There was no peace when they were in Babylon. They were in a land that they did not want to be. They were forced to do what they did not want to do. And this is where every single individual is apart from Christ. We have all sinned and come short of the righteousness of God. We stand by ourselves condemned and deserving his judgment, deserving the extreme of conflict. And so simply in terms of the relationship with God apart from Christ, everyone, because of sin, is in fact naturally in the midst of the most extreme conflict, the opposite of peace. Everyone is condemned by the righteous judgment of God and deserving of condemnation. It is a condemnation which is described as wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is and can be no happiness or no comfort in that. And thus the announcement of salvation that God, through the second person of the Godhead, to Christ, has taken your sins and covered for them with his blood and has redeemed you, is indeed the announcement of peace. Does not mean that every problem in your life is solved. I said earlier, you can be in the midst of great human conflict and know the peace of God. You may, in fact, have serious, difficult issues, be in great stress in dealing with those issues, and yet be at total peace with God. Now, to have that relationship with God through Christ does give you a basis, of course, by which you deal with these other things in life. But we need to be careful that the peace which is prophesied, the peace which the angel announced, and which the hosts of heaven have sung about, is not that everything is now just going to be great in your life. It is, in fact, the peace that exists when you are right with God. Now again, the immediate context is that of the promise that Israel will be allowed to return from following their exile in Babylon. Though they will be captured, they will be taken into exile by Babylon. Isaiah also prophesies to them that the day will come when they will be saved, when they will be returned from that exile. And yet what Isaiah is really ultimately talking about is salvation from sin, simply returning from exile in Babylon, though that was a great day for many who did return. That in itself is but a human thing. It is not salvation. What Isaiah was really talking about ultimately is freed from the domination of the kingdom of Satan. And even as the angel announced to the shepherd, a Savior is born today. The Apostle Paul clearly defines peace for us with these words in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by your fight against sin. It is not by your having overcome a fallen nature. It is not even by some decision at some point that you have made, may have made, that you're going to accept Jesus. It is by the work of God, totally accomplished by Him, which is announced to you that it is accomplished, and you believe. You might ask the question, how can such a thing be? How is this possible? Place yourself for a moment in the same situation again that Israel was in, or at least in the prophecy of Isaiah, which told what would happen. Being captive of the great nation of Babylon. Being captive of that nation does not afford very much reason to be hopeful about gaining freedom anytime in the future. To be under the dominion of sin, which is the case again for every one of us, means to be dead, hopelessly lost in sin. It is to truly be captive without any option on our part to do anything about it. If you know anything about the history of Babylon and its downfall and release of the captive by the Persian under Cyrus, you will know that it was clearly by the hand of God. God brought His people back. He made peace a reality for them. To say that God is sovereign, to say that in Him we have salvation. Even the great nation of Babylon, even the great nation of Persia, were but servants of God in His plan for salvation. The peace that you have is the peace that God has accomplished. That's why it's possible. This is then the announcement. God is the king, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Cyrus, and not you, but God. When God is your king, you have peace. You truly have peace. You know, the idea of announcing peace is also in the general context of announcing the outcome of a battle. In the ancient world, this is just a few years before the advancement of cell phones and instant messaging and whatever way that we know today instantaneously what happens virtually across the world. In that day, it was not so easy to get news from the battlefield. In fact, news from the battlefield had to come by means of someone personally running from the battlefield back home to the city, waiting to hear the outcome of the battle. And the normal situation would be that of an ancient city with walls surrounding it, and there were small kingdoms, and every now and then kings would go out with their armies and do battle. And whichever king won, the other king and his people would have to be servants for the next year or period of time and pay the tribute, and it wasn't a very happy situation. So when the battle was taking place over the hillside into the next valley, the people back in the city were anxiously waiting to hear the outcome of the battle. And on top of the walls of the city, there would be the watchmen. And they would be looking at the hill in which the runner is going to appear. And when somebody is running with very good news, or someone is running with very bad news, you can tell the difference by looking at how their feet are going, whether they're shuffling or whether they have a step of joy in them. And so when the prophet says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet who bring good news, he's not talking about the physical condition of your pastor's feet. He's talking about the greatness of seeing an announcement coming that is good. The battle has been victorious. There is peace coming for us. It is in the context that Paul in Romans speaks to the proclamation of Christ as the good news. Again, if you turn to Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 15, we read, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." To know of Christ is to truly know of the peace of God. It is to know exciting news. It's a great thing. To know exciting news is to be excited about making known that news. The announcement of peace can never be just another bit of news. You can never be just that which you keep to yourself. Again, I want to say that this announcement is not new. And as I indicated, it is an announcement about a reality in eternity. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was announced as a reality come to pass in the New. Most of you have heard it all of your lives long. It doesn't become something new each year on the 25th of December. And yet, it is an announcement that never becomes old if you have heard it and you know that peace. If you truly know that peace, then it is an announcement that is excited and comforting to you every time you hear it, and you cannot help but tell others. This peace with God is, first of all, exactly what it says. Everything is just fine. Everything is just right with you and God. Yet with everything being just fine and right with God means a great deal in terms of your life and your relationship with others. This peace which God makes makes a great deal of difference as to how you deal with your issues in life, those conflicts. It makes a great deal of difference in terms of how you deal with others. So first of all, know this. The peace which the messenger of God announces is your peace. You truly can know and have the comfort, as Heidelberg Catechism 1 speaks of it so well, which comes from that peace. It is a peace that's real. It is a peace that the world needs to hear. Let us pray together. Our God and Father, how we rejoice in that we have heard the announcement of peace. How we lift up our voices and pray to you, O God, that we might truly know that peace, and yet we might every day come to know it more. All this we ask